All right. Yeah. So you're good to record and start here.
Yeah. Yeah. We're doing the podcast. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. So we'll do. So obviously Canucks in seven first. Talk about some of the recent losses, like the St. Louis game. You know, did you think it was a decent effort? Or
yeah. I mean, at this point of year, they need more. They need more from them. You know.
Yeah.
You do, right.
Okay. Like, cool. I also want to talk a lot about the belt, because the turtleneck look from Halak was pretty good.
It was amazing.
So we'll get into that. We'll do Canucks in seven. Talk about playoff chances. A little bit of NFL. There hasn't been a ton of movement, and I know we went into that pretty deeply on one of our last shows, so that's okay. Obviously, we'll do Sixers, then ad break for DraftKings. Hour two, you've got Captain's Corner stuff, right?
I always do. You know I do. Come on, man.
And we're doing, and TTP Misery, you know what it is from last week, right?
We'll figure it out, I'm sure.
Yeah, cool. I'll check Twitter, because people usually will comment
on it.
Right?
You don't prepare.
And then questions on Twitter, and then probably I have some Oscar recap stuff.
Oh yeah, did you get a big win? You can tell us about the big win, right?
Save it for the show.
Okay.
Are you good to go?
I'm good to go, man. Actually, you know what? Look. If I have a little favor to ask, man, is there any chance that I could do the hosting of the show? Just because I've been doing like the award-winning journalist stuff on Twitter and stuff. I feel like I've gotten better at speaking and kind of leading, so I just kind of want to put myself to the test.
And you have your videos too, which have been good,
right? It's kind of fun.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I tell you that enough, but the videos are really funny. I enjoy them, and I like Sherlock.
He's a star. Yeah,
he's Sherlock's. I'm sorry to say, but Sherlock's the real stud of this duo.
That's fair. So yeah, I'll be his Diesel. Yeah.
So you want to drive the bus? Then you want
to
ride?
Yeah, I've listened to enough shows. I feel I could do it. You know, I just promise me that no matter what happens, that you will finish and complete the podcast with me. That's all I'm asking. Just, I know it's weird to say that, but just so I don't feel nervous that you're gonna
It's not a do you need me to send you like any of the notes or segments or
no,
stuff?
You still do the notes. I'm not organized. I mean, I'm just gonna be talking. If you can write down the little cues and stuff, and then I got the intro here, so I can just play that for us, so I'm good to go if you just want to.
Okay, and then I guess I'll write down the cues for Jay.
That'd be awesome. Yeah,
for the production afterwards.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be fun. Yeah cool. Yeah, not a problem.
Your feet up, relax. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. That's nice.
You've got 20 podcasts as it is. You know, I'll drive this bus tonight. So.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. All right. Yeah. That's fun. All right. That'll be good. All right. So I'll count down, and then we'll do the sync clap, and then we're good to go. And then you can do the intro.
Thank you, sir. Cool.
Oh, this is fun.
I'm excited.
All right. Hey.
Something different.
Yeah. I've only been doing this for four years. So yeah, maybe it's your time. All right. Cool. All right. In 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. It's the one you all know. Before we get there, just play a little intro song for the podcast.
It's time for a real podcast. It's totally real, really a podcast. The best podcast of this moment. It's really the best, better than Bowman's. 19 and a half years later at the movies. 19 and a half years later at the movies. 19 and a half years later at the movies. It's totally real.
I fucking hate you so much. What the fuck is this?
So here's the thing. It's been 10 years doing 9.5 years of the movies. That intro was done by Daniel Wagner. He made it for me 10 years ago. I remember this day like it was yesterday. We were talking about the Canucks' failed run to the Cup in 2011 and next year, 2012. We thought they were going to beat the Kings. I asked Daniel to do me a favor. He's a good musician, even better writer. I don't know, he might be better writer, better musician. I don't quite sure. But he's got an album, The Never Known, out now. You can go get it. But he did the intro. He's been doing it for 10 years. Mike Paris couldn't make the show tonight. We do it every week. It's been 10 years doing this, and I really wanted to have you on because it's like, you like movies, right? I'm pretty sure you enjoy movies. So I thought, why not just bring Bowman on, do the movies? And we do have a message from Mike. He couldn't make it, so I do want to play that for you now if you're okay with that. Yep.
I can't believe this.
Hey, Wyatt. Mike Paris here, your usual co-host for 19 and a half years at the movies later.
Get the fuck
I'm sorry
out
I couldn't
here.
Be there today. I'm accepting the, as you know, I'm accepting the Belgian Podcast Award of Excellence on our behalf tonight. But I wanted to say congrats on an amazing 10 years. Of course, that's 520 episodes. And we've never missed a week throughout this whole time.
Never.
I can't believe it's 10 years. I feel like we haven't even known each other that long. Anyway, I know Bowman's been listening to the show each week, so I hope hope he knows all our funny inside jokes and can keep up with you when he's subbing in for me tonight. Like, you know, how are all our inside jokes, right? How we reference Art Attack at the beginning of every episode. Yeah.
And we do take and remember party, that old commercial. Yeah.
Sock a bopper is better than a pillow fight. Sock, you know, right? God. Anyway, we've Memories. Had some great times over the years. Happy 10 years.
So yeah, Mike couldn't make it. So I'm really glad that you could step in 9.5 years at the movies later. Do you want to jump into it? I can tell people what's
you're the worst person I know.
I just want to share this ride with you. I think you, like, again, you know movies, I'm pretty sure, right? So I might as well get you in here. Look, I've been doing this a long time. If you don't know what's going on, I'll lead you along, okay? Just follow Big Daddy. I'll get you through this, okay?
Oh, yeah, now you're Big Daddy. Big on this Daddy, show.
You promised you would stick with it. We're gonna do it. Sir, it was 9.5 years ago at the box office. There was a little movie that started a bit of a rom-com renaissance for this actress, Reese Witherspoon. Little movie called Sweet Home Alabama.
No, that's the one?
Yeah, have you seen it yet, sir? Have you watched it recently?
No, I've never seen Sweet Home Alabama. Okay, hey, I've never seen Sweet Home Alabama, so sorry. Can't do it.
Remember you made a promise to Big Daddy, and that was you do the podcast. And I will sit here and wait 2 hours. I'll speed through it. Everyone at home will have to see this, but I'll wait for you to watch it. It's 1 hour and 50 minutes. If you just take a break, go watch it.
What?
We got categories to fill out. I know. Okay, so here's something funny I do in this podcast. I assign awards to the movies that we're watching.
I assign awards on my movie podcast. I don't even know what you're talking about. That's real. This is so fucked.
What, on the basketball podcast? That's cool, though. You do awards for, like, best jersey and stuff. That's cool. But it's a bit different here because it's about movies. So if you could just watch Sweet Home Alabama for me and get back.
What, now?
Yeah, right now. Yeah, I mean, I got nothing else to do. So Big Daddy's going to wait for you. We're going to get you to go and watch the movie and then come back. And I'm going to take you through a journey from 9.5 years ago. Again, I've been doing this 10 years. We've got more guests coming in to say some things. Don't you worry. We got more coming. So, but before we get to that, we are going to do a little commercial from Quest Trade. It's one of our main sponsors. So if you just want to play the commercial, you go watch the movie, get back.
I can't believe what's happening.
Anyways, here's our commercial from Quest Trade. Thanks, everyone.
Hi, I'm looking to make some smart, sound investments for my family. I've been using my family's guide for a while now, and the returns have been less than expected.
Well, you came to the right place, because at Questrade, it's our quest to make you money.
It's literally in the name of your company. I like that.
Right? We consider it a bad trade if we bring you in and don't make you money.
Okay, name of the company.
Some would say it's our quest to trade your money for good investments.
Okay, yeah, no, I get it. Questrade, the name of the company.
Oh, so I guess you know everything, huh?
Oh gosh, sorry, no.
You waltz into my office wanting my help, and you have all the answers already, right? Why even bother talking to the expert, right?
No, look, I think we got off on the wrong foot.
Okay, look, you want to make things right? You want me to help you?
I mean, yeah, but I feel like this is pretty intense for our first meeting.
To be truly effective, an investor must know and love human beings. A good investor should have humanity in their blood.
I'm sorry, what? I don't follow.
Smoke this bag of human hair.
You're joking, right?
What? You a Mormon? A Jesus freak?
No, I'm not doing this again.
This is your investment.
Why the hair? Every time.
This isn't some kind of test. Take the damn hit.
I just want to invest a bit of money I made on my bonus so I can afford to buy a PS5.
This ain't a review board. We ain't doing rails. Just leafy brown hair.
No.
You know what? I don't want you in my office. Not even in my building. Go back to gain capital and lose your money. Have fun watching Elden Ring videos on TikTok because that's as close as you'll get to playing that game. Get the fuck out of my office.
You can't say that in a commercial.
Fine. I don't understand how this helps me invest, but I really want that PS5.
Alright, that's how it's done, son. Shit, you took some man-sized hits. You gonna be okay? When's the last time you smoked out?
12th grade.
Left that out of your email, didn't you? Knew you had secrets. Everyone does. Didn't know you liked to get wet, though.
What's wet?
You know, dusted hair, clippers, come on. Dipped in PCP, Primos, Sherm, Cool, P-Dog, Angel Dust. Didn't you smell it? Taste it?
I've never smoked human hair.
Now you have. Remember the smell for next time. That's the smell of a bad investment. Think I'd inhale that shit?
I'm gonna get piss tested. I'm gonna get fired.
FTC's got our backs. We know a week before we piss.
Shit. How could you do this to me? Chill
and ride the high. You're an adult. You choose to invest. Live with your decisions. You cool?
I'm cool.
Quest Trade. Remember, you made the choice to invest, not us.
Why is there music from Underworld playing in the background? I feel like Ridley Scott shit.
Some legalities might be there at the training day, but it's intense, right?
Yes! I think I learned a lot about investing and drugs.
Dusted hair, you know. Just
I didn't know you liked to get wet. Good Lord.
So yeah, I hope you got a chance to see the Sweet Home Alabama. We had our ad break. You look a bit lost right now.
I'm getting it from all sides, Wyatt. Getting it from all sides.
Before we start, then, we have a message from Rob Fay, our friend at NEW.
We got
a message from Rob. You want to listen to that?
Wyatt, I have to tell you one thing. I am so proud of you that for 10 years, your 19 and a half at the movies podcast is still thriving and surviving. I've tried to listen to some podcasts that dabble in the movies and tell me what's good and what's not, but thank you, man. Thank you for always being that one voice that lets me know where I take my babes to the movie, where I let people know, hey, this is what you really need to see. Thank you for being you. And if there was an award that I could give to you in this moment, I would. I know you're award winning, but this would be at the top of the mantle. Congratulations, big guy.
Thanks, man. See, like, it's when you have good friends that recognize a good product, right? Like, you get that feedback and recognizing 10 years of excellence. It just feels good. It feels good, right?
Yeah, it's a goddamn nightmare, Wyatt.
This is
fucking this is the worst experience I've had in a long time. And you said there are more surprises.
Oh, we'll see.
Yeah. More concerned.
Yeah, we'll talk a bit. And then
but
we'll
I've also now watched the film. And yeah, I'm extra mad. Now,
you got some thoughts? Well, let's before we get to those, I do something with this podcast where I just kind of, you know, get your thoughts on what, you know, how much it cost to make, how much did it make, all that sort of stuff. How much do you think it pulled in on the box office weekend, sir?
This is very similar to a segment that we do on At the Movies 10 years later.
I've never heard of that. It's weird.
I
numbers man, come I just, first. So 9.5 comes first in the phone book. So I just,
I just hate you so much in this moment. It's so pure
10 years.
And unfiltered, this hatred.
10 years.
Okay, so years. What's the question? How much did this thing make or how much did it cost?
How much did it make? No, cost comes second. Come on.
Sweet Home Alabama made...
Yeah, in the weekend. Opening weekend. What do you got?
Oh, opening weekend. Yeah, not overall. Yeah. Okay, no. Opening weekend, I'm guessing this thing made $32 million.
Have you done this before? I feel like you might have because it made 37.5.
Oh,
shit. That's a good guess. That's a good guess.
Why am I excited to be participating in this trap?
It's 10 years, man. Mike couldn't make it. You stepped up. You should be proud. How much do you think it cost to make, sir?
All right. So, well, they had to pay for the rights for the song, which I admire their restraint for not using it until it was an hour into the movie. Good for them. I'm guessing this thing cost, Josh Lucas wasn't coming in a big money at the time.
Just before Grey's Anatomy. No Patrick Dempsey money.
Yeah. Well, Grey's was happening at the time, wasn't it?
No.
2001 really.
For this. Grey's was 2005.
Oh, right. Okay. I'm thinking
sir,
10
I know
years
a little
ago.
About the movie business. Yeah. It's 21.
I'm thinking this is 2012, yeah. But no, it's 19 yeah. and a half years. Yeah. Okay. Let me get that. Okay. I'm
number.
Guessing this thing cost, $51 million.
He overshot a bit, $30 million. $30 million. Maybe don't start your own podcast and movies just yet. And the last one here, how much do you think it took in total?
The cumulative total at the box office for Sweet Home Alabama was $131 million.
We call it the Totes McGroats on this show. It was $182 million Totes McGroats.
The Totes McGroats is what
yep.
you call it.
Yes,
okay.
We call it. We have fun in the show.
I'm learning these different rules.
Yeah, you should listen to my show earlier. You'd be prepared.
I don't have GeoCities, so...
That's true. It's been down for a little bit. Now, we also do a fun thing for people who maybe haven't seen the movie yet. We like to recap it, you know. I feel like 5 minutes, you're going on too long. It's more about you than the movie itself, if it's that long. So we on the show like to do 30 seconds here. If you could give me a 30-second recap of the movie at a preach.
that How very much of this show is going to be you taking little pot shots at my show?
I'm just talking about my show, man. It's not always about you. I know it's going to be tough, but this is just about my show. 10 years, cameras on me, not you.
All right.
30 seconds. I don't want five. That's ludicrous. 30 seconds.
Are you timing it?
I'm timing it, and go.
All right, so Reese Witherspoon is going to get married to Patrick Dempsey, but first, before she does so, she has to go down to Alabama, a life she left behind because she's still married to Josh Lucas. She tries to convince him to get divorced, but it turns out that they still kind of love each other. Patrick Dempsey finds out that she's living a secret life. He's actually pretty cool with it. They agreed to get married down there, but turns out she still loves Josh Lucas because he's running a fancy glass place now. So then she leaves him at the altar, punches his mom out, and then she runs away with Josh Lucas and gets married and stays in Alabama at the end.
Well done, sir. Well done.
Did I at least do that right?
You nailed that. Again, I think you might have a future on the show. If Mike is ever sick again or taking an award for the show, I'll invite you back on.
Thank you.
Deal? Deal.
Yeah, deal.
Excellent. Sir, I have something called amusing anecdotes about the movies, if you'd like to hear about them.
Yeah, man. Sure.
I feel like you got a bit of tune today, and I don't know why.
Whatever. Sure. Or wait, hold on. Can I ask you a question? Are we going to do Trust the Process or no?
No, this is our
this
show.
This is it. Okay.
I told you to do a podcast. This is what we're doing.
Yeah, sure. We were off for a couple weeks, and then we did the 4th anniversary show, and then, people will love this.
I mean, okay, Trust the Process, 4 years, what? This show, which is my heart and soul, 10 years. I mean, I think we can just give me a little time, okay? I'm sure everyone listening is, you know, on my side.
Thought you'd like to get wet.
Fun facts about this, or amusing anecdotes, as we call it in the show. It was the first film ever allowed to film inside Breakfast at Tiffany's. Since Breakfast at Tiffany's. So it had been 1961. They let them film in there again for one of those opening scenes.
It's a fun fact.
It's amusing. It's an amusing anecdote. It was also the first film. It's not, this one isn't amusing. It's more, you know, kind of reflecting. I don't know what an R word for a fact is. It was the first film allowed to shoot in New York City after September 11th, 2001.
Is that for real?
That's for real, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting.
Yep.
It's not amusing.
No, I did. I made sure it wasn't amusing. I'm not going to... Yep. Next, amusing anecdote. Do you know who was originally cast to play the lead role of Melanie Carmichael?
I'm going to say, what the hell, Julia Roberts.
Charlize Theron.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but they had a writer strike or actor strike at the time.
Mm.
So she jumped into another film. Do you know what film she did instead?
Monster.
Trapped. Oh. Not a good choice. Trapped.
I was like, if it was Monster, she ended up winning the Oscar for it. Hey, you know what? Good call.
But nope, she did not. Now, we'll get into it later. There is a deleted character that did not make the movie. You see at the very end of the newspaper called Aaron Vanderbilt. And they wanted her to be in there just kind of be a bit of a foil to show that he was still loyal to Melanie. But they had a scene where she basically came out like topless and trying on dresses in front of him. And he did one of those little, like he was talking to Melanie at the time on the phone. He got a little bit distracted. So everyone who test audiences assumed he had banged her and they hated him. So they fucking hated him. And I think that was the right move because like, it's nice that she has two guys who are completely normal and that she has to choose. That's a better choice.
Can I just say, he is a mega baby face throughout this entire thing.
Yeah.
And the worst thing he does is walk away from her. But then the next scene, he's like, hey, I thought about it. It's not so bad. It's okay. I just overreacted. Let's get married here in fucking swamp water, Alabama.
100%.
And I'm like mega babyface, Ricky Steamboat style.
Yeah, I agree. So they did the right thing. They got rid of that character. But yeah, they did introduce it earlier. And she's also like, there's another scene where they have everyone talking on the phone and she meets him for the first time and says she's from the Hamptons to show she's from his neck of the woods.
Oh.
Just to place those seeds that maybe, again, this movie really just goes into the idea that like you can't escape who you are no matter what you do, which I didn't like. We'll get into it.
Yeah, because like during the end credits, it's like, oh, here's a newspaper headline. And oh, he's with Aaron Vanderbilt. I'm like, okay. Did they mention her before, or is he just with this pretty lady who has a fancy, rich person-sounding name? Okay. Yeah,
they tried, but again, if you're going to try and introduce a female character to be a bit of a, like, they honestly thought that him, like, not doing it with her, the people would be like, well, good for him, his eyes are only on Melanie, but she basically walked into the apartment, like, trying on dresses nude and turned away, and he did that little, sorry, what'd you say? Which shows that he was distracted, like, bad booking, right? That's bad booking.
That's bad booking.
Bologna cake, which the Father Earl asked for, is a real thing.
Ew.
It consists of bologna, cream cheese, and horseradish.
Oh.
It's true. And one more amusing anecdote. It was not filmed in Alabama. It was filmed in Georgia.
What a travesty.
Yeah. So, there you go. They lied to us there, and I never quite recovered from that, to be honest. We'll get to it as well. Let's get into the movie, if you're ready. But before we do, I do have NEW champion Travis Williams, also a big fan of the show.
No fucking way.
He just wants to win. If you could just, yeah.
No, you don't.
Hey, what's up? It's the Golden Boy, Travis Williams. Unbelievable. Pacific Northwest King and Nation Extreme Wrestling champion. Just congratulating Wyatt on 10 years of doing the movie podcast. Congratulations. I usually don't do this stuff, but Wyatt paid me quite a bit of money.
I didn't edit that properly. Anyways, it was really nice of him just to weigh in. That's the champion of NEW right there. Champions listen to this champion show.
I gotta know, what did you tell these people?
I told them I was having the 10th anniversary show, and they wanted to be a part of it. They said, Wyatt, you've got me through some tough
times. Did any of them ask, hey, cool, could I get a link to the podcast to maybe listen to any prior episodes, and then they discover that this thing doesn't exist?
They'd already listened. I didn't have to send them any links. They just said, this show has gotten me through a lot of tough times. You know, your thoughts on all these movies have really helped pave my way to a higher movie intelligence.
Oh, my God.
There's nothing else like it in the market, so I just really appreciate what you're doing. So it was the least they could do, right? So
they said appreciate, did they?
They did, yeah. No, I mean, they listen to TTP. They listen to me, so they get my lingo. I'm a bit of a trendsetter, obviously. Like, uh-huh. You know,
tastemaker, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You get it, right? So let's get to the movie. It is Sweet Home Alabama, Reese Witherspoon. We see her on a beach with another young man, talking about how they want to get married one day, and lightning strikes, and they tell you lightning only strikes twice, or never strikes twice the same place, et cetera, whatever. Pull back, and now it's Reese Witherspoon in New York. Accent's mostly gone. She's a fashion designer. We see the amazing Patrick Dempsey as Andrew Hennings. So again, he is Mr. Perfect here. Just a delightful gem of a guy. Sets up a nice engagement proposal to her. There's a bit of troublesome issues for me where I feel like half the time he's just trying to like really dig at his mom for all his decisions.
I thought that's where they were going with this, was right? That like at some point I'm thinking, okay, because just from knowing what I know about the movie, again, never seen it before being tricked into being on this podcast, which I guess exists now, I'm like, okay, she's obviously, I remember seeing the trailers, she's obviously going to end up with Josh Lucas, right? Josh Lucas, by the way, whatever happened to that guy. Anyway, so she's obviously going to end up with Josh Lucas. So I'm thinking at some point they're going to make Patrick Dempsey, he's going to do a big heel turn or something. He's going to be a scumbag. He asked her to sign a prenup, or he's just doing this to piss off his mom or make an ex jealous or something. I was waiting for that the entire time. It never came.
And again, I applaud them for that. I think that would have been the easy, boring way out, to have him just be an obvious heel. Like,
yeah.
The fact she had to make a hard choice made it better.
That I liked.
Right? Like, that's a good call. I do think at times there was a bit more sexual chemistry between Patrick Dempsey and Candace Bergen than there was between Reese.
Yeah, because she's his mom, but yeah. No, she ain't his mom.
I'm sure
the ages match up, but like, she looks very young in this, and Patrick Dempsey's always looked 43 years old.
Yeah, even when he was in like Can't Buy Me Love, he was 43.
Yeah, he was 43 years old. Beers. He was like Dean Malenko. He was born. He was born 40.
Mm-hmm.
So I also kind of feel the same way, that there was a little bit of sexual tension between the two of them.
Yeah, I'm telling you, a little bit of the War of the Roses between those two.
Yeah,
like I felt they're trying to one up each other and make each other mad, but that was their foreplay. But so anyway, but as it was written, Patrick Dempsey's awesome. I think he's a great character. He's a jam up guy.
I couldn't believe it, because when he gets down there and he finds out that she's been lying to him and all this stuff, and not only that, but she's also currently married to Josh Lucas.
Yep.
He's also at a Civil War reenactment, which Civil War reenactors, fucking get over it. Like, who wants to dress up like the South and like reenact
it? Can you imagine if we dressed up for fucking 94 or 2011 every year just to reenact the loss? I'm Lafayette. Like, who the fuck wants that?
Oh, Trevor Linden's going to do it. He's going to score a hat trick. It's happening, everybody. And then, you celebrate the loss. Like, it's over.
It's weird.
Also, I think we can all agree the South was in the wrong.
Yeah.
Right?
It is weird for them celebrating the South. Like, it's never dead. No, man. You guys lost. It's
like,
over.
There's a moment at the end where, like, we'll jump around if that's okay with you.
You know what? We're a little loose in the show. That's fine.
Okay. I got to check with the host here.
Yep.
There's a moment at the end where, like, after she at the wedding is like, no, I'm not going to sign the divorce papers. I'm going to stay with Josh Lucas. And Patrick Dempsey's like, you know what? Okay. And he just fucking vanishes. He's like, all right, see ya.
It's when she tells him at the altar, she says, like, you know what, I can't do it. Like it has one of those Goonies moments where she's supposed to sign the paper.
Yeah.
I kept waiting for something, like, no paper, no pen, no sign. She doesn't sign it. And then Patrick Dempsey goes, oh, that's how that feels. It's the greatest line.
It's amazing. And then his mom is like, you're just going to let this little harlot
that's the heel
do
turn.
This and stuff at your wedding? And he's like, yeah.
I think you know I am.
What? I think I am.
Andrew, you don't want to marry me.
I don't.
No. No, you don't. Not really. You see, the truth is, I gave my heart away a long time ago. My whole heart. And I never really got it back. And I don't even know what else to say, but I'm sorry. I can't marry you. And you shouldn't want to marry me.
Wow. So this is what this feels like.
That's it? You're just gonna let her humiliate you with some bullshit about an old husband?
Gem. He's a
and
gem.
Then he just fucking walks off through the crowd, and that's it for him. And then Candace Bergen sticks around and starts cutting a promo on all these hillbillies. Ah, fuck you. Why don't you go to your double wide and start frying stuff up? And then she's insulted Reese Witherspoon's mama. And then she turns around, and then Reese Witherspoon belts her in the face. And then Reese Witherspoon's dad, who's a Civil War reenactor, played by Fred Ward, Tremors for Life, yo. Punches her in the face. Candace Bergen drops like a bag of doorknobs. And then he says, ha ha, the South will rise again. Or he says, praise the Lord that the South has risen again. Sir, don't bring your racist bullshit into this, please.
I mean, they're staying true to the source with material. I appreciate, you know, that level. But yeah, I mean, the babyface aspect of him just like, you know, dusting out of the ring once he's lost was amazing. He's like, nope, not my time to shine. And then the heel promo for Candace Bergen was amazing. They needed that. That was like, you know, the movie needed a heel turn at some point, and to give it to her was good booking.
Yeah, because she was a mega heel the whole time. Yeah. But she also had like a bit of a soft face turn where she's like, okay, this is what my son wants. I'll put on airs. I'll go down to, what was it, Pigeonhole, Alabama, or where the fuck it was called. I'll go down there, and she's actually being like a good sport about things because it's what her son wants. And yeah, she had her investigated. She sent down her lackey to go check things out or whatever, but like, she is like, she's going along with this and trying to be supportive. And it's only when all this marriage and I'm not gonna sign and all this stuff starts happening that she just turns mega heel again.
I mean, well, one question for you though: was she wrong? She was right the entire time.
Oh, the entire time.
That's a good. Right the whole time. That's the best heel. Someone who thinks they're right, but she actually is. Right.
She's fucking Magneto up in this bitch the whole time.
She's warning everyone about what's going on. She was right,
guys. I think she's got some skeletons in her closet. I don't think she's been honest about her past, and something about her just doesn't seem right. Okay, cool. Let's look at the checklist then. Okay, she's been lying about her name and who she is. Boom. Yeah, she came from Alabama. Boom. She's also was previously married. Boom. And is still married. Like, yep. Candace Bergen looking out for her boy and fucking nailing it.
She was right. There's also another deleted scene in which it's a horrible scene in which like five people are on the phones and they're swapping phones. Like, it's way too complicated and it's stupid. Like, you know, he's talking to his mom, then he's passed the phone to Reese. She talks to the mom, he talks to her friend, talks to Aaron. Like, it's trash. But during that scene, Candace Bergen does reveal to him, like, oh, I've done some investigating. And Melanie Carmichael, that's a rich family. Like, that's why she's good to go. We're good to go with her. But I just need to go down there and check out the family, make sure it's all good. So that's why Patrick Dempsey goes down there. It's because his mom's. So that's because
he just shows up.
Yeah. I'm glad it's not in there because it's more babyface for him just to appear to look supportive. But he was sent by his mother, which is, again, more heelish.
My God. I can't believe how big a baby face he was through the entire time, because I kept waiting for him to, like, oh, he's just trying to make so-and-so jealous, mm-hmm. or he's just trying to piss off his mom or something. But he genuinely loved her, which makes me feel really fucking bad for him. I also feel bad for Josh Lucas, because Josh Lucas never got over her. She's been gone for, what is it, like 10 years? How long has she been gone for?
8 years? I think 8 years or 10 years? Yeah,
well, yeah, which there. He is like, he's got it bad, because he's still carrying a torch for it. Apparently, he went up to New York at some point to try and win her back. And he needed to make something of himself and all that. But they're, let's just say it right now, they're both in love with a terrible woman. She sucks. She's awful.
I listened to your podcast. I think you did one episode of a podcast. I think you were guesting on Janine's podcast. And it was...
disrespect. Just keeps... Even when you bring up my show, you decide to just throw little barbs in there.
I happened to catch you on a guest appearance. And that's why I knew you could do our show, because you were, like, good at that. Ashton Kutcher and Natalie Portman. What was the movie again? I think... What was
it? No Strings Attached? Friends with Benefits or No Strings Attached?
No Strings Attached, yeah. You hated Natalie Portman in that one, because she was, you know, wishy-washy in your opinion. So when I saw this movie, I knew that you were going to hate Reese, because she really is, like... So basically, she goes, he proposes, Patrick Dempsey. She has to go take care of things. He wants to meet her family. Like, no, I'll go tell him first. They haven't seen me in a long time. She goes down back
where
she came from.
Suspicious behavior.
Yeah, she goes back to Pigeonhole, wherever it's called, and everyone's there, and she doesn't want to be there. She's a little bit nervous, and she finally finds her ex-husband, which is still her husband, Josh Lucas, because she needs him to sign the divorce papers. She sent it to him 3 times. He kept sending them back. So her premise is trying to get him to sign it, and he still has a thing for her, and she's just telling him, like, divorce. But I will agree with you, there are times she leads him on a bit. Like, you know, they still have that chemistry. It's still there. She still always loved him. If you're romantic, you look at it as she always loved him, never got over him. If you're Bowman, you hate her for not making a decision.
Okay, there's a lot. Okay, let's just go, first of all. So she has her runway show, and then she's meeting Patrick Dempsey, and turns out he's rented out fucking Tiffany's for her to pick her wedding ring from any of the wedding rings, right? That's a pretty romantic thing from him. So then she picks this wedding ring, and then they're going to a thing to meet the mom. And she's like, I don't want to tell anybody yet. Let's keep it secret. And he's like, okay, cool. We'll keep it secret. And he turns the ring, like, upside down on her ring finger, right? But it still looks like, a wedding band at that point. And then she goes and she shakes hands with Candace Bergen. And Candace Bergen, because she's not a fucking idiot, feels this massive rock in the underside of her left hand. And, you're married? And then, there we go. What a dum-dum. Take the ring off.
Again, she thought she could trick... That shows that Melanie, Felony Melanie, did not appreciate the intelligence of Candace Bergen.
And speaking of Felony Melanie, I know this isn't a felony, but as soon as she finds out that her and Josh Lucas... I don't even know what his character's name was, and I just watched the thing. Jake. Thank you. Jake Perry. Wait a minute, is that... Oh, no, Jungle Boy is Jack Perry.
Yeah, you're confused.
I was like, oh, fuck, is it Jungle Boy from AEW? Jake Perry, that they still have a joint checking account. Wyatt, what's her move? What does she do with that information?
Okay, so she goes down. She wants a divorce. He says, no, you turned into a good line. You're a hoity-toity Yankee bitch. And he wants nothing more than to piss her off. And then can't get the window blind down in an amusing scene. And then she's like, fine, not going to sign my paper. She goes to the bank and is talk. I can't remember the premises, but she finds out that the bank, I think the bank teller, who is Chloe O'Brien from 24.
Yeah, it's Marilyn Rice Cub.
Yeah, she offers up, oh, you want to take out the joint account? And she's like, what joint account? Oh, the joint account you all have. You know, you're still married, y'all. And so she takes the joint account, takes a bunch of money out, and redesigns his house. Which, again, that's a good scene. He comes home and there's a bunch of new stuff and he's like enjoying it. It's all clean up because his house is a real shithole.
Light beer.
Yeah, light beer, the nice new fridge, and she's just talking about how they're going to make more. She's like, you want me to be a wife? I'll be a wife. He's like, good, you can spend as much money as you want. He's like, oh, I think you forgot the check count. And then he'd shoot to a really shitty camera angle.
Oh my God, what was that?
He's drinking the beer and is like shaking his head from
downward angle, and he's just frozen in terror as she's revealed, yeah, the joint checking account. And then he's just stunned.
He's stunned.
Move. Catatonic.
He drinks his beer, and then like the camera angle is awful, but then he's like, you know, he's rightly angry because she took all his money. Because unbeknownst to her, he's been trying to save up a bunch of money to get this glass company off the ground to make something of himself. So
that's just the weirdest fucking thing is at one point she just takes a drink out of the glass and goes, I really like this glass, and looks at the bottom and goes, oh, Southern Comfort Glass Company. That's okay. And I'm like, all right, obviously this is a thing. Like, it's Chekhov's, like, glassware. Yeah, it was nuts. And then also when she breaks into his house the first time, he calls the sheriff on her. And the sheriff comes, and the sheriff, I guess, is their, like, childhood friend and whatnot. This sheriff, by the way, why, is there anything he loves more than sexual assault?
That he is up for a worst line in the movie for me.
Okay, I'm not going to say it then.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say
we'll
it
save,
we'll
it,
save it.
We'll save it for awards.
Yeah.
Like we do on At the Movies 10 years
but
later.
But I don't know what that is. But yeah, I saw it and I was like, oh no, we can't do that anymore. And
yeah.
It's like, he's married, by the way, 3 years with Chloe O'Brien.
Yeah. This problem. And she laughs it off. She's like, oh, you're so funny. And then I see that like Gene Smart got dragged into this fucking movie. I'm like, Gene, no. Gene. Come
did
on.
You see the weird edit on the going back to the sheriff quickly when like because like basically he you know Jake has called the sheriff down to arrest her. There's another cut scene here where she just found out. She found out at that moment from her friends back in New York because I saw the first time and I'm like, why didn't she not notice with like the lights flashing in the fucking house? She just realized the sheriff. I'm like, that's she's stupid. She had been on the phone with her friends who told her that she'd gotten a terrible review from that like
yeah.
Designing Woman Weekly and she didn't know. So then she puts it down, sees the sheriff. Jake's trying to get her arrested, and initially he's like, oh, I gotta get you out of here, you're not allowed to be here, but the fact that they're still married, and goes, well, that you're allowed to be here because it's your house too. And then as they're leaving, they're like accusing each other of crimes they committed as a kids, and then Jake says, oh, what about that time that someone threw your mom's tractor in the pond? What about that? And before he even says that, they show a shot of the sheriff stopping as he's in the house and gripping the sideboards of the door.
Yeah.
As if he reacted to the news ahead of time. And I hate that. I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, someone edit boo fucked it up.
Yeah. Bad edit.
It's a bad edit. I didn't like it. But he's not a good character. Gene Smart. Yeah. There's also a scene they also cut out where, like, she has a real heart to heart talk with Melanie after the night after she gets drunk at the bar. And it's a really good scene where she's like talking about how, like, Jake did all this stuff. She didn't tell him everything about Jake. I'll let Jake tell you about that. But, like, he never got over you. He wanted to make something of himself. She gives him a lot of details that, like, kind of, like, make you realize why she softened up after the night at the bar. And the director's reasoning was, well, we had that scene at the dock, and we just found it wasn't as funny after that scene. What was funny about that scene, the dog getting the bone? There was nothing funny about that scene. Like, it was a vital scene that he decided to take out because it didn't make the dock scene play. And I don't know how he...
The dog scene didn't play anyway.
It didn't, right?
Is the dog... Can a dog swim? I don't know. How deep of water? 8 feet or so? And then they're kind of waiting for this dog. Is it going to drown?
They've already lost one dog. Is that funny that we're going to kill another one? Like, what's the joke here? I don't get it.
Wyatt, I'm glad you mentioned that night at the bar because I have some thoughts.
Yeah. I mean, that is up for maybe my best scene. We'll get to it later. But I like to let everyone know who she is, that she's better than them. So,
yeah, you had me, you know... Really, really pegged when you said that, oh, yeah, you probably hate this lady.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you can go ahead and condense all of that into her night at the bar. Okay, so let's see what she does here. All right, so she drinks too much. Okay,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yep. She reconnects with some old small town high school childhood
Clinton.
Friends.
Yep.
Yep, yep, that's great. Then she outs Ethan Embry in front of the whole town. Why don't you just go to a gay bar?
Do you remember that, ma'am?
How could I forget? That was the night Jake got me pregnant.
Why don't you just go public with that shit?
Oh, come on. It's not like anybody can keep a secret around here. Except for Bobby Wright.
Now, what did I ever do to you?
You never did anything to me, darling. Or any other girl in town.
Melanie, what is the matter with you?
What do you mean?
Oh, she's just unhappy. Well, of course I would be too if Women's Wear Daily called me less than mediocre.
Why don't you just go to a gay bar?
Well, I think I had about enough fun for one night.
Oh, come on, I was just kidding. Another round of drinks with my friends here.
I mean, it hasn't aged as well. But here's the thing. When they met earlier in the town,
yes,
they said they both have secrets. They both gave each other like a knowing look, right?
Yes.
So they had an unspoken agreement. At the bar, he then told her, you can take the pool cue that's shoved up her ass. He made the first attack on her as a person in front of everyone.
Okay.
So I think he, she went too far.
Oh, so it's fine.
She went too far, but she just had little Will Smith in her. She had to go up there.
No, we're not doing this. We're not doing this.
It's pertinent.
Yes, now on Tuesday it is.
Everyone's waiting for a Will Smith takes.
God damn it. On Friday, it's like, oh, yeah, Will Smith. Huh?
But here's the thing. Like he slapped her, and then she punched him. So, again, yeah, you know, mismanagement of power, but they had an agreement, and he broke it. So, anyways, go ahead.
Keep going. So then she proceeds to start fucking running down everybody and talking shit. And then Josh Lucas takes her outside.
What makes you think you can treat them like something you stepped in them fancy shoes?
You asked for it!
I asked for it?
You show up here, you steal my money, you rearrange my house, and then you insult my friends acting like you're better than them?
I am better than them.
Good fella out there. And her new plan is, hey, I'm shit-faced and just made a spectacle of myself. You know what I should do? Drive. Yeah, I'm going to drive drunk. Awesome. Okay, great. He won't let her, but he'll give her a ride home. He's on a date with Star.
Star is a star.
Yeah.
She drives the car. He drives his drunk ex or drunk wife home. She drives the car behind them and takes his car.
Yeah.
Or her car takes Melanie's car. That's a nice move.
And not only that, then what does she do when she's in the truck? She throws up on the driver's seat. Roll the window down. Throw up there. Throw up on the floor. There are a multitude of different places you can throw up when you're inside a car that isn't the driver's seat of your husband, your estranged husband who you just bailed on. I came out of that scene going, there is nothing. Nothing this movie can do to get me on her side. And good Lord, did they ever try with the dead dog scene.
She just had a little sit at the cemetery talking to the dog she left behind. That was touching. It was
I'm
nice.
Sorry, you're probably wondering why I left and thinking it was your fault. Nope, I'm not buying it. You outed Ethan Embry in front of the whole town and made a drunken ass of yourself. And yeah, he's talking shit about Melanie Lynskey and her fucking baby. Like, that, she's the worst. She
I will
sucks.
Say, people take a lot of bullets for her. Even there, good guy Jake's like, I told the dog it was my fault.
I mean, why are you doing this for her? She is the worst. She is way worse than Natalie Portman in No Strings Attached.
Now, there is some backstory they did provide us that after the big football game, they had sex in his truck and she got pregnant. That's why they got married. They lost the baby. It's 2001. They hinted at it, but no, she lost the baby. And then they just weren't ready for it. And at the wedding, he threw up on her. It was a big to-do. And then she just wasn't ready for that lifestyle. That's why she ran to New York. So there is some trauma there. Did she handle the trauma well? No.
Okay.
But it wasn't like she thought and set out to be evil. It's just, she just didn't know how to handle her demons.
Now, people over a lifespan or even weeks or months can repair damage to their reputation and relationships, right? Not always, but it takes time to repair some of that damage. But you're asking me to forgive this girl for what she did at the bar, 8 minutes after she went on her little tirade of trash. It's like the next scene or two scenes later where she's apologizing to Melanie Lynskey. Hey, sorry for that shit I said. And apologizing to Ethan Embry. Yeah, sorry for that shit I said. Where I'm like, no, I'm not fucking buying it, man.
Again, you're missing the scene that with Jean Smart that would have helped a lot. Would have seen that she was very sorry. That again, that's
didn't
another
play.
Vital scene.
Hey, it didn't play. It didn't play.
But look at it from her side. She's there with Lurlin, one of the worst names I've heard in any
Lurlin!
Movie.
Lurlin!
Lurlin. Lurlin. Sounds like you're drowning.
Sounds like you're getting fucking garrote assassinated.
Yeah. Lurlin. So Lurlin's at the bar. She's had so many babies, she's got a fourth one in the bar for the fuck of it.
Yeah.
And you got to say, someone who lost a baby, she sees a woman who's got so many babies, she can just toss them in the bar and not give a shit. That hurt her, all right? She had the trauma.
You're out here defending this woman is what you're doing.
She's been through this a lot of stuff. All Did she handle it well? No. But God called upon her to protect people.
It's like, I feel like they were writing this movie, they were shooting this movie, and fuck, she is, they're looking at the dailies. She is really unlikable. Hey, can we just write a quick scene about a dead dog that's sad? That humanizes her even a little bit. We're going to need that.
Anyways, we'll get closer to the movie. She does come to realize, I guess the beginning scene of the movie, lightning struck the sand and made a glass formation. That's kind of how the start of how he created the glass company, which started with them. So that is a romantic angle. He's got a glass company. He's making a bunch of stuff. Even then, though, I will say she knows at that point. And then the movie that she's into him a lot, but she's still goes through with Andrew Hennings, which he didn't deserve this.
Okay, at this point, he has shown up, learned she had a fake name, which upset him the most. It's
Smoother.
Wait till you hear what she was up to at the fucking bar last night. Yeah. If you think the name is bad. But also that she strapped dynamite to a cat and it accidentally blew up a bank, which could have killed people. It didn't, but it could have. And everyone's like, that's really, really funny.
It's Alabama, though.
Oh, can I just say something about the Alabama accent just real quick?
Yep.
It's any of that accent from the South and stuff. I'm sure we don't have any listeners in the South. And if we do, I'm very sorry. But there's nothing you can say that sounds smart. One time I worked for a gym. I had to fix a tanning bed. And the customer service or the tech support was based in Alabama. So I'm like digging through the wires and the circuit boards of this tanning bed trying to fix it. And I got someone on the other end of the phone. All right, so what you need to do, you need to take out the motherboard and reconnect it over to this one. And I'm just like, I cannot take you seriously.
You know, a nuclear scientist, it wouldn't matter.
You know way more about this than I do. And I know you're trying to help, but I'm sorry. No, I feel like I'm smarter than you are at this just because of the accent. It's awful.
And I'm not a fan of that, yeah.
She drops it in and out throughout the movie, which is really strange because apparently there's a running gag where, like, she worked very hard to lose that accent. So
I think that can work in the sense that she was in New York and kind of comes and goes because she's back home. So that's fine. I do want to bring up a character that I could not stand. One of my least favorite characters I've seen in a movie in a long time. Melanie's mom is a fucking travesty of an actress in this movie.
Yeah.
I thought she did the one of the worst. I don't know where her character's coming from. I know the writers didn't help either because I don't understand. Like, at one point she's supportive and then she's not supportive. She wants her to get out of Alabama and then she wants her to stay.
Yeah, she's all over the map on this
and her
thing.
Acting. If you ever watch it again, I know you will. Watch her in some scenes. The scene when Patrick Dempsey first shows up at her house, she sits there and, like, just turns and then her eyes go blank and her arms go down by her side and she just stares. Like, she's not, like, she's not trying. She's clearly not trying
to
act.
She thinks they're doing coverage for him. So
yeah,
she
like, yeah, exactly. She didn't know the cameras were on her. And it's awful, but she does it all movie long. Like, so she is awful.
It's Mary Kay Place is the actress, which I know that name. I'm just not sure. Was she on, like, Night Court or something?
She could have been whatever it was. Like, in this movie, I'm sure she's done other stuff.
Where
I think she won an award somewhere.
Where do I know Mary Kay Place from? She was on Big Love, Bored to Death, King of the Hill. Yeah, you're right. Now that you mention it, she was terrible. I was obviously going through a ton of other things here.
She'll laugh once. You know how Melanie is so crazy. The next scene, you gotta get out of here. It's the worst place in the world. Like, she just deadpans it. Like,
yeah, I thought she was gonna say something about, I married your father and stayed here into this life, but I had big dreams too that I had.
No,
to sacrifice.
And she said, I loved your father. I loved him so much. Oh, but get out of here. Don't do what I did.
Yeah. And I had you, and I'm really happy with you, and my life was great. She tried to get her to leave because of jealousy. So I don't want you to have as good a life as I did. So you need to fuck off.
At least that makes some sense. But I thought her acting job, really, I just couldn't stand watching her. Like, just made no sense where she was coming from, what her, I don't know. Again, maybe you're right. Maybe the cameraman just fucked with her. You're off screen, and she's fucking
like,
dead.
We're doing coverage for Fred Ward here, so don't worry. You're good.
She's just wearing fucking, like, you know, jeans for no reason. What? Yeah, it was not
You're
my
right,
favorite.
Yeah. No, she wasn't very good.
So we'll get to the end of the movie. It's true. Melanie does make out with Jake, and he does the good guy thing, saying, no, you're obviously, like, too torn on this. You got to make your choice.
Like, it's also fucked up.
You can't ride two horses with one ass.
Oh, yes. Was... Very good, Fred Ward. Yes. Yeah, Trevor's coming through with some great down-home Southern skillet advice. Can't ride two horses with one ass.
Sugar bean.
I also feel like, is it just me, or did they digitally make Josh Lucas's eyes bluer in the scene where she discovered that he had a bruncherie?
Oh, anytime that he did something good, it's like he powered up.
Oh,
and his eyes got bluer.
Yeah, okay, so it wasn't just me. Because I'm thinking, like, okay, throughout the movie, okay, he's this, you know, bit of a hick and stuff, and, you know, a bit rough around the edges. But then as soon as he does something really sweet, the blue eyes come out.
Well, that's a good question out here. So we've got people who did the test audiences saw Patrick Dempsey just look at a naked woman who was, like, just showing him clothes she was trying to try, and, like, he didn't do anything, and they fucking hated him. Then we got Mel, who's bouncing two guys. Like, I wonder what the reaction was to her. Were they like, that's cool? It's good, we're good at this?
She's
or?
Straight up deep kissing both of these fellas.
Yeah, yeah, she's going down throats in this one.
She's going down throats double time here. And here's the thing, is that Patrick Dempsey was such a baby face here. One of my notes was, you better fucking marry Patrick Dempsey. Yeah. And had she stayed with him, had she be like, you know what, like, the past is the past. I'm glad you're in a good place and we can grow apart as people and still be happy and go with Patrick Dempsey. You know what? I'm giving this movie a very, very high score.
That would be fun.
That doesn't happen. Oh, 51st dates. She never got knocked on the head and got her memory back. They just decided to roll with it. Good shit. But no, I was the whole time dreading that she's going to end up with Josh Lucas. And making Patrick Dempsey a heel would have been, you're right, lazy and shitty to do. But at least it would have made sense.
Yeah, I mean, I do. The weird tone for me of this movie is like, you can't escape who you are if you try and better yourself. I mean, they tried to like shoehorn it at the very end. They're like, oh, he opens a glass door in New York. It all worked. Like, come on.
Get that the was... fuck out of here. Yeah. They have a kid now. No. Hey, what about Patrick Dempsey? Oh, yeah, he married Aaron Vanderbilt.
From his own circle. Like, everyone married their own circle, right? Like, it was just very like, you know, don't escape from who you are, run from who you are. You can't change.
I don't think we mentioned it, but his mom is the mayor of New York. I don't think we mentioned that at all.
Well, the obsession with her son, why is that a thing? Like, I know the mayors in New York have been around, like, has anyone cared about their kids as much? They make it almost like a JFK thing with him, which didn't make a lot of sense.
Like, he's the secretary of something, or he's got some fancy office too. He's like the comptroller. I forget what it was they call him.
Works at a local Arby's.
But he has like a political office or whatever as well. It's obviously not the mayor, but he's something.
Yeah. Well, he's the best guy in the movie.
Of course, this was what? So 19 and a half years later, was this 2001?
Yep.
Okay.
2002.
Also,
September.
If you've introduced, pardon me, I just can't fucking believe I'm talking about Sweet Home Alabama in depth with you right now. Just give me a moment to just come to grips with the turn this has taken.
Oh, you know, hold on. Okay, before you get to that, you know what? I got another shout out. I'll let you gather your thoughts. Another shout out.
Yo, Wyatt, what's up, man? It's Big Sleeps. As you can see, I just woke up, man. But I just wanted to say congratulations on the show, man. The podcast is great, man. 10 years. Wow. Congratulations on your 10 years of 19 and a half, you know, years later in the movies or whatever you want to call your podcast. But I want to just say congratulations, man. And wishing you all the best, man. 10 years. God damn. Can't wait till I get there.
Friend of the show, Big Sleeps.
Oh, my God. Hold on a second. Does he know? All right, now I feel like you're misleading this man. What? Does he know this is a bit?
No, he loves the show. What do you mean a bit? It's not a bit to do 10 years of celebration. How is that a bit? Like, our birthday's bits then, I guess? Like, sure, let's celebrate your bit
some
next year.
Are. I can't. Oh, my. Not Big Sleeps, man. Come on. I ask you right now, are there any more surprises? Who's behind the next door? Because Big
one
Sleeps,
left.
That's a
one
big
left.
Fucking pull.
There's one left.
Did you have to get it via cameo? Like, is Gene Hackman going to be like, Wyatt, I'm... yeah. I loved your Crimson Tide episode that you did. Yeah. I would fucking kill you. Next time I saw you, we'd throw hands.
What were you saying, sir? I just want to gather your thoughts.
Oh, the fact that, okay, it's 2001. Okay, so we have two separately gay characters in a movie. They're obviously going to...
Oh, yeah, that was... That
is a force stronger than gravity. If you have two gay supporting characters in a movie at this time, they're going to end up together or exchanging googly eyes at a reception or whatever. I still just can't believe she wanted to get married down there. She fucking hates these people.
No, then the movie tells you can't run from who you are.
Right, I'll tell you the worst moment of all of this. So I finished watching Sweet Home Alabama, which is something I never thought I'd find myself saying. It's been 19 and a half years, clearly. And then was it on like Disney Plus? I think I watched it. And then afterwards it says, oh, you may also like. And the movie it was advertising there was The Proposal.
Yeah.
The Proposal wipes its ass with Sweet Home Alabama front and back. Proposal's a good movie. This is not.
Less Southern accents, that's for sure. For anyone who didn't watch
Craig
the movie, summarize it really quickly. They do end up getting married. Melanie does not sign. It basically comes down to, oh, her lawyer finds you didn't sign the divorce papers. And then she's sitting there and the audience can't do it. And then, as Bowman said, you know, Candace Bergen does her diet and heel turn, gets punched out. Then she goes and says, well, I think one of my worst lines we'll get to is like, oh, your friend's the bride, stay around, I'm going to get myself a groom. And this runs off. Everyone just stays at parties. Well, she tracks him down to the beach in the rain that the movie started on. Here's what I wanted from the movie.
He doesn't take her back.
No. Aww. They kiss. It's on the beach. Everything's fine. But the lightning fucking hits them. And they're both dead.
Done. Great.
That would have been heroic.
17, no notes.
That would have been heroic.
No notes.
They don't do that. They come back. They get married. Now, I do want to tell you about an amazing alternate ending in which I wish they had done it. Oh. It is the most fucked up ending. This might make you put an extra point on this movie.
Okay.
They have a scene, obviously, in the end of the movie, the real one, they're at like a house, they put together a quick little party and they're all celebrating. In the alternate ending, they just stay at the fucking place that Patrick Dempsey paid for. He's a jam up guy. They're still dancing around. Jake walks into the crowd. They still do the same scene. They're on the beach and like the lightning strikes. He walks in holding her. She looks dead in his arms. He walks in
like fucking Batman when Robin died in the comics.
Yeah. Everyone's partying. They still, that slow stop in movies. Everyone stops to stare. And oh my God.
Yeah.
He walks up. He's covered in water. She's laying out totally dead. And he goes, Melanie Carmichael is dead. Long live felony Melanie. And then she gets up and makes out. And everyone cheers.
Get the fuck out of town.
Go to YouTube and check it out.
Yeah, hold for 1 second, please.
Please watch this. That is the most fucked up ending you think you can come up with.
Where do you get off, Sweet Home Alabama, with having all these deleted scenes and an alternate ending? You are Sweet Home Alabama. Alternate ending. There it fucking is. Right there on YouTube.
It is, again, if you've seen this movie and haven't seen the alternate ending, please watch it.
Yeah, first comment I'm seeing here. This ending is weird, LOL.
It's weird for a lot of reasons, because like when the family sees her dead, they just kind of stare. They don't go like, you'd think they'd be horrified.
Oh my, our only daughter has been killed.
But they're I assume her mom's like, finally she got the release I wanted. Didn't run over, but like, it's fucked up. Like, she plays it up as she's dead.
Do you want me to like get the audio on the show here?
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Plugged
yes.
into the mixer? Okay.
Yeah, it's...
It's an audio medium, so...
So this is the normal scene. It's in both endings.
Okay, yeah.
So I can kiss you anytime I want.
Yeah, they're kissing. I'm going to skip ahead.
Yep.
All right, so they're at their wedding now.
Yep.
Fred Ward's dancing with the fucking actress who I guess knows she's on camera now. Oh my God! Oh, look at her. Oh my God, she's dead. Yeah, this is exactly like fucking Batman found Jason Todd dead in the comics. They stopped the music!
Melanie Carmichael is dead. Long live Melanie.
Don't stop stop everything. What in the blue hell is this?
Who pitched that ending initially?
Like, dude, it's not who pitched that ending. That shit was written down on a script, and it made it all the way. They got approved. They got a budget. They had the
sense to get out the rain.
You do now.
That love doesn't strike the same place. Why?
You know, I believe I owe this lady a dance.
She just...
You know what they're doing now.
They're dancing.
The slow one.
Oh, no way. Here it comes.
Four.
God damn it.
If wow. For some reason, you brought in someone and said that she was dead, and then pretended that they jumped up alive, you think everyone was just clapping like it was a hilarious joke? Like an actual lightning storm going outside.
He also does like a little sly, like... Before he announces it, Melanie, I forgot what, Carmichael is dead. And long live Melanie. Oh. And then, and everybody's very concerned because, yeah, she's a lifeless body in his arms.
Yeah, soaked in water, lifeless body. Well known, like, they know he works with lightning rods. Like, it's all very, very believable.
I can't believe what
can you imagine that? Okay, if that had been the actual ending you saw in the theater, what would you have done?
I think I might have turned around on this whole thing. I'm like, that is so batshit crazy that I have no choice but to respect what they've done and accomplished here. I'm into it. Lean into how fucked up your movie. I can't believe that.
We need that for the sad word for Trust the Process. Melanie Carmichael is dead.
No, that's our new merch. Yeah, a t-shirt that says Melanie Carmichael is dead, and only the people who listen to the April Fool's episode.
Oh, God, the real episode. Okay, so let's get to some awards if you're up for it.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Before we do our last surprise, our last guest appearance, sir, if you're ready for it.
Hey, Wyatt, it's Eddie here, and I just want to give you a shout-out to 19 and a half at the Movies Later for celebrating their 10th year. Hands down, my favorite movie podcast around. Excited to hear Bowman will be on this episode. I've always wanted to hear his thoughts on movies.
Nice of him, right? Just to weigh in and... You know,
I have a show for that if you're interested. At the movies 10 years later.
Anyways, so let's get some awards going here. You ready, sir?
This has been bedlam, I just want to say.
It's been a journey.
I'm emotionally exhausted by all of this. Yeah, let's do awards.
Okay, so it's a bit of a fun thing in the show. I do awards you normally wouldn't think of, just have some fun. Best character, who would you give the best character to, sir?
Best character is Patrick Dempsey's what's his character's name?
Andrew Henning. Mr. Perfect.
Very much. He was a fucking sweetheart of a man.
I agree with you. We've talked to him, you know, at length here. He just does nothing wrong with this movie. He's nothing but supportive. He has one brief little blip where he finds that her whole life is a lie, but then he recovers in fucking half an hour.
Not even. It's like 18 minutes later. He meets up with her dad. He's like, you know what? Yeah, I think we're good.
Yeah, my bad.
I wanted to get married in Ireland or like New York. You want to get married in Pigeonhole, Alabama 3 days from now? You know what? I love you. Let's make it happen. Fucking saint on earth, this man.
The only part that is, I am wondering, is it like how much that is to anger his mom and get her... going like I don't know still.
Which,
I just
want... she's a bitch. That's also okay. He could demonstrate his love for her and also stick it to his mom for being a bitch. It's okay.
Fair. Who'd you say the worst character is? Who'd you have down as worst character?
I don't have awards written down because I didn't know you do awards.
Oh, you don't do the show works. That's fair enough. So if you had to choose the worst character,
I'll give it to Melanie Carmichael. Maybe not Melanie Smooter or Felony Melanie, but Melanie Carmichael for certain was pretty terrible.
I'm going to give it to Melanie's mom. I just thought overall, character-wise, actor-wise, I could not stand her. She was in way too many scenes. There's one point... She takes her cooking glove off, and in the next scene, it's on both hands. So I'm starting to think, the editing crew really didn't like her.
We're gonna make her look so fucking stupid. Yeah.
But in a subtle way that only a few people will notice.
I can't believe you got Big Sleeps and Eddie Lack and Faye.
They love it.
I also got to say the theme song, Daniel Wagner, that was...
It's a banger. We use it every day. It's great. It's
better than Bowman's.
Say it. Okay. What, you want to hear it one more time? Sure.
No. That's fine. God damn it.
It's time for a real podcast. It's totally real. Really a podcast. The best podcast of this moment. It's really the best. Better than Bowman's. It's 19 and a half years later at the movies. 19 and a half years later at the movies. 19 and a half years later at the movies.
Thank you, Daniel.
It's totally real.
Thank you, Daniel.
Okay, best supporting character, sir. We got more awards.
best supporting character. I'm going to give it to Ethan Embry's Bobby Ray.
Bobby Ray, really? Oh, he does come through for her because, like, she at one point has to put a lie to what she thinks is a reporter about how she is a Carmichael.
That's right.
And he is part of that family, so he kind of pretends for her and says she's her cousin.
Goes right along with it.
Despite the fact she outed him at a bar, so that is a very stand-up move
for
sure.
He had no reason to have her back there, but he still did. Stand-up guy.
Yep. I'm going to give it to Jake, too. I feel like him, he's a close second there. He got put up a lot of shit in this movie, too. You know, when he let his dog almost drown, that was a bit... troublesome. Other than that, he did a good job. Made the glass company. He did some good things. And he had the bluest eyes you've ever seen. The bluest eyes.
Only sometimes.
Yeah, when he did good things, the eyes went blue.
That's so funny.
Worst supporting character, sir.
Worst supporting character. I'm going to give it to Candace Bergen's Mayor Kate Hennings.
What? Why?
She's a mega heel, man. Actually, no, but she was right.
She was right.
She was right. You're right. You know what? She was right about everything.
Wrong.
You know what? I'm going to jump on with you here. I'm going with the mom.
Yeah.
Mom is my worst supporting character for sure. Yeah.
Mine is going to be the guy from the Big Bang Theory with that nerd guy. Yep. I didn't realize how one note he was. He played the exact same character in this goddamn movie. And
yeah,
I found
he
his
was
character.
Her like assistant. He was the mayor. He was Candace Bergen's like assistant underling guy.
Yeah, and he played the exact same character. And it, you know, as his character itself was a skeezy little guy. So nope, not a fan of him. What was your favorite scene? Your best scene, sir?
Jesus Christ. My best scene was probably, maybe Patrick Dempsey at the wedding. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, Patrick, that's what that feels like.
Patrick, yeah. Oh, okay. You're just gonna let her do that? Yeah. You know what? I think I will. Like, either he's very calm about everything, or he is having the most subatomic mental breakdown you've ever seen on film, and just no selling everything. But I guess, yeah, that's it. Because even at that point where you're expecting, okay, maybe he is about to justify her choice right here by laying into her for all the shit that she's done and put him through, he still Ricky Steamboats it, and okay, yeah, well, see ya. And fucking walks away. Yeah, it's my best scene.
Yeah, I thought they might make him do a bit of a Dusty Dinkelman, where he's like, we realize he's not going to get her. Fine, I got Aaron Vanderbilt on speed dial. I'm mobile and
fuck
walk
you,
off.
Fuck you, boo-boo. And they're like, okay, yeah, cool, bit of a heel. All right. But no, they kept him maybe the whole time. It's crazy.
What was your worst scene then, sir?
Worst scene is her at the bar.
Oh, like, I didn't say my best scene. My best scene was actually her at the bar, because I like how the fact she told everyone that she was better than them, and she is. I like that. She stood up for herself.
That's where she became irredeemable for the whole rest of the movie.
She became redeemable for me.
Her
she stood up for herself.
Oh, you like that, do you? Why am I not surprised?
They are trash. She was right.
You responded to that. Why am I not surprised?
She told them how it is. Anyways,
listen here, Lurlin, with your fucking kids.
Yeah, you're throwing your babies in people's faces like that.
Oh, it didn't, like, Marilyn Rice go, Chloe O'Brien had a fucking weird name. I'm looking it up. Dorothea.
Yeah, Dorothea. Yeah, another, right. Again, these weird names. We're seeing, here's a bar. I'm going to go with the vomit in the car because they actually showed a bit of the vomit, but to what end? You don't need to show vomit. You can just make the noise. I'm there with you.
Yeah.
I don't need to see it. Yep. The payoff isn't there for me. And it, like, if they barely showed it, but enough, like, I don't need to see you spitting milk out. It's fine.
Yeah.
Didn't need it. What was your best line, sir?
Best line? Oh, jeez.
Again, I don't know how you didn't write these down. This is upsetting. This is why I get Paris to do the show. It's fine.
I like what it, Jake said something. It was like, honey, just because I talk slow doesn't mean I'm stupid.
Yeah,
because that, you know, could trick me in real life, too. Like, I'm sorry. Yes, you do just have that accent. So you sound dumb, but I'm sure you're not dumb. So we'll either go with that or, so that's what that feels like.
Yeah, best line for me is that's what it feels
good.
Like.
It's good. It's really good.
I did like You Can't Ride Two Horses One Ass, Sugar Bean. That was a good
advice.
That's
also good. There's some lines
good
in
lines,
there.
Good lines there. But I just like Patrick Dempsey just eating that shot and no selling it. Like John Cena all the way.
It was insane. Do this to me. I'm Andrew Hennings.
Nope. Just fine.
I had a topless lady in front of me 48 hours ago and I did nothing about it. But I will now. Like, yeah, nuts. Okay.
Worst line. What is your worst line?
Oh, you know what? You can go ahead and say it because we both have to have the same worst line, right? It's the sheriff. Or do you not?
I get to frisk pretty little things like you all day, is what he said.
No, that's not entirely what he said, Wyatt.
What was there more? What it was?
I get to frisk pretty little things like you all day and get paid for it.
Well, hell's bells, bidding. Melanie.
Wait!
Hot damn, girl. Around here. Hey, I think I saw poor old Fuzz just the other day.
Oh, God, you had to bring that up. I can't believe you're the sheriff.
Yep, I get to frisk pretty little things like you all day and get paid for.
Wait, try and be a little more professional about this.
That's even worse. Yeah, so that is a horrifying line which she giggles and he is married and he is a cop. It's an abuse of power. 2002, it probably played more than it does nowadays. it's horribly
like
antiquated.
Even then, it's like, oh, I don't know.
It's worse now. It is worse now.
Something about that. Oh, he's got teenage shoplifters at the mall, and his wife's had four kids, so he's getting his jaw. Yeah, no, that's not a great line. It's bad. It's real, real bad.
You know, it's weird to have a best scene and then like this kind of character, but I do it for fun anyways. Best moment.
Oh, here it is. Oh, now you're taking. Now
no,
you're
I'm just wondering. Watch. I just think it's a bit weird, but I like to do it with the show. It's be a bit fun. Right?
Can I give best moment to her walking in with her lifeless body?
Yes, you can.
Then I will.
My best moment is Andrew taking that news like a champ of she doesn't want to marry him.
Yep.
I still think it was just great. No selling it.
What was your worst? Scenes and moments are different. I just want to go ahead and just clarify that.
Yeah, I know. But like that was the moment when he reacted to the news was my moment. Sure, so I know my own show. It's weird that you're telling me to do this.
I feel like what you said is like it's weird to have a best.
Well, it's just hard to explain to the layman. If someone's just joining the show for the first time to hear you talk for whatever God knows reason, they might be confused because my categories are a bit odd, right? So it's like.
They're very familiar sounding categories, though.
Right? Yeah. Why I choose categories that are so close to each other, and if I had to explain every episode, should I have done that? But whatever. We'll talk about it later. What is your worst moment?
My worst moment. I'm thinking. Yeah, maybe it's the vomiting in the car. That's just on top of her being a horrible person, or either that, or when she outs, like specifically when she outs Ethan Embry in front of the whole town, like that's awful. That's really, really, really fucking shitty behavior.
Worst moment for me is the mom no song Andrew showing up. I don't care if she knew she was on camera or not. Watch it again, see her not react at all, and just put her alarms down. There's also another scene when they're at the first place we'd held down for the first time, where they show people dancing. And I swear to God, watch the goddamn movie. The mom literally just like moves her arms left and right like a robot, like four times. And I don't know what she's doing.
She moves like a robot or does the robot? Because those are two different reactions.
She's not doing the
me.
Robot, okay. But it's pretty close. Yeah.
Because I'm going to have to change some awards if she's out there doing them. And then she hits the dangling arm.
If she did that,
and
I'd be all over
around,
it.
Like, okay, well, hold on a second here. I think we might have a new best supporting character.
Who did you give the best hair to?
Patrick Dempsey in a walk. You set your watch to that.
I'm going to give it to Clinton. He had a nice mullet, and he loved it. He rocked that mullet. He didn't care. He had the sunglasses tied behind his back. Like, that guy was... He's not my favorite, I don't love the South, but that guy, he knew what he was doing.
Okay.
He was who he was.
Well, my worst hair goes to Clinton.
That just seems spiteful.
The balding mullet and the mutton chops and just all of it is a page one rewrite, sir.
Worst hair for me was mom's hair. Again, I'm just burying her.
Yeah, get her. Hey, sometimes you just zero in, and you gotta just ride that out and get her. So, yeah, there you go. I get it.
What would you say the last 9.5 years, who's had, 9.5 years of achievement since this has come out?
I'm giving it to Dakota Fanning, actually. Dakota Fanning played young Melanie in just that one scene in the flashback. And she's got a tidy little career for herself now.
Yeah, I think obviously Reese has done a lot. She's producing and got a clothing line and done a lot of good stuff. But for me, Patrick Dempsey, just in terms of like iconic characters of Grey's Anatomy, like people are always going to talk about that romantic angle. Like that's in the lexicon of people talking about big romantic pairings, like top five pairs of all time, they'll be on that list. Yep. So that enters
for
me.
He's McSteamy or McDreamy?
McDreamy.
He's McDreamy. Okay, he's a good one.
Yeah, so that one, that's for me. Who do you think has been the most disappointing in the last 9.5 years?
Oh, it's clearly Josh Lucas.
Right?
Like, he was supposed to be, like, the next big thing. I know he did this. Then there was that, like, weird airplane movie with Jessica Biel and Jamie Foxx, Stealth. He was in The Incredible Hulk, the Ang Lee one. Like, yeah, he was everywhere for a while, and then he was nowhere. So it's Josh Lucas for sure.
I would agree. I also want to...
Oh, he's on Yellowstone.
Yeah, but he's not really doing much of that. I'm going to say, Fred Ward, I wanted more. Just because I want to see more from him. It's disappointing because I didn't see more from him.
The man has done 12 Tremors sequels, and you're going to drag his name
Where's
through the
13?
Mud. You want 13 Tremors?
Yeah.
He's tired, man. There's always so much he can take of battling these giant sandworms.
Tremors in space. Give me Tremors in space.
Where was he in Dude? You need somebody taking out sandworms. Fred,
can you imagine they brought him in for that? We got an expert.
Dude, done. But you know what? We do our Oscars thing. I'm putting Dune for Best Picture. Why? Because they brought in an expert. Fred Ward and Reba McEntire show up to fuck up sandworms. Sign me up. Page
Love
one.
Who would you say the unsung hero was of this?
Unsung hero, I'm probably going to go with Jean Smart. Jean Smart was always there with like some good advice. She's the ex-mother, or the current mother-in-law, I guess, because she's Josh Lucas's mom in this. And then, even though I don't agree with the direction it took, she was that last person who was like, gave her that pen. When she signs it, and I forget what she said. It's like, oh, you only go around once or something like that. Or no, I think it's like everything happens for a reason or something, which sets her down the path of choosing her son or whatever. But I liked Jean Smart's my unsung hero.
Okay. I have a category here, fun. What do we think was the overrated?
Hey, who's your unsung hero?
Oh, my unsung hero was Star. I thought she brought the car and was just delightful.
Oh, that's good. Yeah,
that's
good
a baller move. That's a baller move. Who do you think was overrated in this movie?
Overrated?
Like, yeah, yeah. Who do you think someone was talking about it? It could be a person, it could be a thing, it could be anything. For me, I'm going to say it was honestly the song "Sweet Home Alabama."
Yeah,
used it a
Skinner.
Couple times.
Yeah,
didn't want it. I don't need to. They use it. Give him one because of the name of the movie. They use it more than once. Didn't like it.
I will say though, I do appreciate their restraint not using it until like an hour into the movie. That is over an hour. It's an hour and 1 minute. Because I know as soon as that shit queued up, I'm like, how long did this take them? And it was an hour and 1 minute. That's not bad. Good for you.
Good restraint.
Even though I always get disappointed because that riff, it's like it's three songs. It's Sweet Home Alabama. It's was that fucking Kid Rock All Summer Long. It's that. And it's also the far superior Werewolves of London by Warren Zevon. And every time that thing hits, that riff hits, and it's not Werewolves of London, I get pissed off. So I'm also going to agree with you. The overratedness of this movie, the most overrated thing is the song Sweet Home Alabama.
I like it. And who would you give the game ball of this movie?
Oh, I'm giving the game ball to Patrick Dempsey. Baby face throughout, man. Like, he had a very reasonable reaction to a lot of the deceit that he's been faced with for this woman that he's, like, closest to than anybody. They are going to get married and share a life together, and he's found out all this extra shit. He just shared a truck with her actual husband. So I will give him the 8 minutes it's going to take him, 18 minutes, to, like, process this. But then he came back even stronger. Your game balls, Andrew Hennings, Patrick Dempsey, in a walk.
You have to even take the fact that, like, the husband, Jake, didn't tell him anything, and he played him like a fool the entire car ride.
He played him like a fool. He embarrassed him. And also, you're Andrew Hennings. You are New York royalty. You are the son of the mayor. And you find yourself standing here at a Civil War reenactment with all these old farts who make their Saturday afternoon plans to go fucking lay in the grass and reenact these battles for slavery. Yeah, this guy, man. And he lets them have the wedding there.
There is one little break in his armor that I noticed. Now, when he was in the truck with Jake, he sits on the seat with his arm almost behind Jake's head, which I felt that's an aggressive sitting posture.
Get him.
Who does that? A stranger? Like you're in a car, pick someone up, and you don't know them. You just kind of know them. And they put their arm around behind your head, kind of almost, while they're driving. That's weird. It's an aggressive move. I felt that was a bit forward. I know it's probably just because of the way Hennings is brought up. He thinks he runs the world. I get it.
Yep.
But I just didn't like it. My game ball, because of that, I couldn't give it to him. There was only one attempted murder in this movie that several times, managed to escape fate. And I was proud of that. It was the cat. End of the movie.
Dynamite
the
cat.
Yeah, they were told the cat had cancer, so she wanted to put out its misery because they thought they were going to, like, you know, do it in an inhumane way.
Yeah, like suck its guts out in a fucking...
Yeah, which...
I don't know what that even is.
There's some lies being told everywhere. A, the cat didn't have cancer. B, you're not going to suck its guts out. So she said, I think she lied all along. It's felony Melanie. She puts dynamite in the cat, tries to blow it up. It shakes free of the dynamite, blows the bank, and the cat's still living. That's a bang-up cat. That's a game ball for me.
Yeah, because he says something like, you know, I guess the cat must have shaken loose of the dynamite, because some people say they still see it. It's got a, you know, frayed tail and a bit skittish around humans. I thought that was just kind of a joke. But then sure enough, in the non-insane ending...
Yeah, it's eating cake.
Yeah, it's just eating cake with Rock'em Sock'em Robots on top. And yeah, its tail is completely fucking pretty much gone. And hey, the cat's actually alive. All right, cool.
Survived. They had to do one fake death at the end of the movie. We knew that they were going to lean on that for sure. All right, Bowman, I hate to break it to you, but we got some more accolades coming in for the show, and I think you're really going to like this one.
Hello, Wyatt. Oh, my word. Congratulations on 10 years of your amazing podcast, which I always listen to and get so much inspiration from before Bowman and I do our podcast. Keep doing what you're doing. You're so fabulous. I'm such a huge fan. Oh.
Come on, Janine. We've been friends since we were 3 years old. How can you do this? We do a show together. A movie retrospective podcast.
What would you give this movie out of 19.5, sir? It's a weird scale. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but we have fun with it.
Oh, so explain it to me then.
Well, you've got to, man, there's a lot of math behind it. You've got to add up all of the favorite characters, all your least favorite characters, a lot of math involved. Like for me, Southern accents dropped at 5 points for me, but the cat gives it up to alternate ending. I even put that into account. The fact they even had that alternate ending, I gave it 3 extra points. I ended on a 12, honestly. Dropped it 3 points to the Southern accent, so it ends up being a 9 for me.
I'm giving it a 6.5 for multiple reasons. She's the worst. Patrick Dempsey's the best, and he doesn't... I guess he ends up being happy or whatever. That's fine. But I got to tell you, Wyatt, a lot of my score came down to the deceit from you.
Which I don't know.
Somewhat took out on the movie, which I guess is unprofessional. But no, I did not enjoy this movie. A lot of it was very insane and crazy. Yeah, I'm going 6.5 out of 19.5.
Yeah, 19.5. Yeah, okay, so like the title of the show, I think you would know. So yeah, again, this is, we do the show every week.
For 10 years, right?
For 10 years we've been doing it. Again, everyone who phoned in, I can't thank you enough. A lot of nice words from everyone. Can't believe Big Sleep's waiting like that. Eddie Lack, Rob Fay, Mike Paris, Travis Williams. It's just, it makes you proud, right? You think, you don't know if people are noticing what you're doing. And I think I've saved the best for last, Bowman. This accolade, this meant probably the most to me out of all of them so far tonight. I really hope you enjoy it.
Hey, Wyatt, it's Jordan's mom. Just wanted to say congratulations on 10 years of my favorite retrospective movie podcast, 19.5 years at the movies later. I never miss an episode, and I look to you as a shining light in movie podcasting. And I'm so glad you were gracious enough to let my son share in this moment with you. Looking forward to another 10 years of your show. You do such great work, and I've never been prouder of anyone.
What the fuck? That was really her. And what's that supposed to mean? I've never been prouder of anyone.
It's worse now. It is worse now.
I've done things. I'm her son. All right. You know what? That's it. I'm done. You're a monster, and I'm done. I mean, Wyatt, you are a monster. Mom, I love you. We're going to have a conversation about this.
You know, there are a couple others that we tried to get, we couldn't get, so we'll just, maybe down the line, we'll get another episode of this, we'll bring on down the line. And I do, you know, it is kind of a trusted process moment here. I do want to know, since it is movie related, I need you to tell me what happened to that Oscar quiz that you always try and win.
I did win. I got,
did you dominate?
Yeah, I got 97 out of 100. With the exception of live action, no, animated short and documentary short, I got everything correct. If Power of the Dog would have won Best Picture, I would have lost because
you've been so mad.
Best Picture was Best Picture was worth 10 points.
Yeah,
and not since the Twilight La La Land incident of 2000 and Vermeer, where La La Land was announced. I had a 9-point lead on somebody. La La Land was announced as the winner. I celebrated. I was very excited. And then the bullshit happened, and like, oh no, actually it's Moonlight. The person had a 9-point lead on had picked Moonlight for Best Picture, so they leapfrogged me and won by 1 point. So I know exactly what the producers of La La Land were going through, because I also had certain victories snatched from me by Moonlight. So yeah.
Okay, well, good to hear. So again, everyone, thank you for joining us. You listen to it every week, I need to tell you this, but we're going to have a lot of fun. We've got a lot more movies coming up. Hopefully, we're doing this for another 10 years. We're going to have a lot more guest hosts coming up. Mike Paris, hope you feel better. Get that award. See you next week. Bowman, you have a podcast, I think, that Janine does that lets you on it once in a while. What is that one?
So that one's called At the Movies 10 Years Later, where me and my childhood friend Janine watch and review whatever movie was number one at the box office 10 years ago. We've been doing the show since 2014, so I guess we're a bit farther behind you, but we're also going to be coming up on our 10th anniversary relatively soon. Recently, we've had episodes. We've done one for The Vow. We've got 21 Jump Street coming up. We've got The Hunger Games coming up, and we're also... leading up to this May, where we're going to be reviewing and celebrating the 10th anniversary of the Avengers. So,
oh, that's good. You know, everyone's got to start somewhere. Really proud that you're doing this. Yeah. And give it a try. Hopefully, he lets you stay for a couple episodes.
And I was thinking of inviting you to do that show with me, but I'm strongly reconsidering that after the events of the last hour and 17 minutes.
I think if you could bring on, you know, the star power of Big Daddy, you probably should. But yeah, you know, you run your podcast the way you do it. I'll run mine as I always do. So thanks to everyone who listened. Bowman, you know what? I'm going to let you do your favor. I'm going to let you close out the show. Anything you want to say to the people at home? You don't get to speak much on podcasts. Anything you want to tell anyone at home on 19.5 years at the movies later?
You guys don't understand. This man is a menace. Wyatt Arndt. The layers of this that is played out.
Sorry. Oh, no, we're done now. Song's on. All right.
I hate you.
Playing you off. We got to go. We got time. We got time.
You're the worst.
We gotta go. Instrumental version. Pretty nice, right? We got two versions of the song.